Hello and welcome to another episode of NYPD Blue Balls. This is another commentary episode, which means we are watching Season 7, Episode 17, Roll Out the Barrel of NYPD Blue, while recording Season 7, Episode 17, Roll Out the Barrel of NYPD Blue Balls. So you might want to be watching the episode while you listen to the podcast. However, that is your decision to make. If you're looking for the show, it is currently on Hulu and Amazon with pros and cons for each. From what I can tell, the episodes on Hulu look a lot better, but sometimes they have the syndication edit, so it's not the full episode. And on Amazon, it looks a little worse, but they tend to have the full episode unedited. So you gotta pick your poison with that. Some quick news regarding the podcast. Kyle is in the process of moving back to the West Coast. So I'm hoping we have enough episodes banked that I can keep the schedule going without taking a hiatus, but I honestly don't know. But after he gets settled and gets back to the West Coast, we're probably going to start recording episodes in the same room again, which I'm sure will be hilarious.
One, two, three, go.
All right, everybody, welcome to NYPD Blue Balls. This is Season 7, Episode 17, Roll Out the Barrel. And it starts with, well, a barrel that's been rolled out. It's pretty conveniently titled.
This was not a fun title. They kind of, they bury it right away. Or you could say they roll it out right away.
Kyle, are you throwing the challenge for barrel and rolling puns in this episode?
No, not at all.
Okay, well, I think you might have, even if you didn't want to.
I don't have the energy or the care.
The patience?
Yeah.
So basically, this dude who now owns a building found a barrel downstairs, and he had his workers pull it out, and they were like, oh, it might be hazardous waste. You know, something you should be worried about.
You know who this is?
No, who's this guy?
He is the kid Danny's dad from the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Are you serious?
He has to be.
You don't even know. You just, you fucking piece of shit.
Let me look it up.
I'm going to look it up right now.
I got it.
Huh.
What episode is it?
No, he isn't. However, he's on Lost for 4 episodes. And we're talking over this lady who is a famous face. This is Pat Crawford Brown. She was in...
I don't know who she is.
She was in many films as the old lady, basically. But she was in 2 classic films that we love. The Rocketeer, and she was in Norbit. And then we got this guy.
Did you know Sam Rockwell was in the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Yes, I did.
I didn't know that.
Because I'm a fan, Kyle. I'm a fan of cinema. So, a couple things. In the beginning... Basically, there's a body in a barrel. The woman said a former mafioso lived there. But then the medical examiner is played by M. Emmett Walsh, who has been in a fuck ton of stuff. But I think I mostly know him from the classic film Wild Wild West, starring Will Smith.
Kevin Kline.
But M. Emmett Walsh was also in Blood Simple, Blade Runner, The Jerk, My Best Friend's Wedding, a fuck ton of TV shows and cartoons and things. But
a lot of things.
Also, this is NYPD Blue Balls, where I, Kirk, and the other voice, Kyle, talk about every single episode of the best show ever, NYPD Blue. And what were you about to say,
Kyle? So, he was in an NYPD Blue episode, just not this episode.
Who?
That dude.
The dude who plays Danny's dad.
Yeah. He's in one episode of 1994, season 2, episode 1.
So, like, years ago. Not even close to now.
Like, so far removed. Like, really, really far.
When he was here, we didn't even have HD cameras.
So just to answer your question, yes, not even close.
I love how, like, and I mean no offense, really,
But I love how, like, I watch the episode beforehand, I write notes, I try to break things, and then you're just like, hey, that's that guy. And I'm like, really? And you're like, I think so. It kind of looks like
him. He looks like him. They both look alike. They both look alike, so fuck you.
Hey, hold on. Is that Danny DeVito? Oh, no. It's fucking Dennis Franz.
Okay. Danny DeVito's, like, so specific. It would have been different if I was like, yo, is that guy Danny Glover? I was like, I hate you.
Oh my god, is that The Rock? Anyways, look.
No, it's just Sipowicz.
So we're so off the rails already. So
hey, don't worry, XFL started.
It did? Oh, did they tell anybody? So this whole meeting is basically to catch you up on who this McGreeny is, who's a mafioso.
Wow.
He's a mafia guy whose wife disappeared, and they think she might be the body in the barrel.
They all think it's the mafia guy. Because why not? You know, that's what mafia guys do.
They kill people.
In barrels.
Sometimes.
It's a class, yeah. It's part of, like, your prereq.
Yeah, some guys take their barrel classes sophomore year, but some dudes, you know, they take a freshman year to get it out of the way.
Not to get it out of the way. They try to get into advanced barreling next year.
And some people, they really get it. They think it's like shooting fish in a barrel.
Oh my god. If you're going to keep talking like that, I'm just going to barrel roll on out of here.
Oh my god. So, basically, they decide they have to sit on McGreeny's house for some reason. And
this is fucking weird. Why?
Yeah, why would they...
They have no evidence.
Watch him. Just because he formerly lived there. Also,
he's mobbed up. But like, other than that, like, they have no probable cause, no evidence, no reason to just sit on this guy's house.
No, none.
I think some people would say that this is harassment.
But, so basically, Jones and Medavoy have to sit on his house because McGreeny knows who Sipowicz is because of season one shenanigans with Alphonse Girardella.
We're reaching back into that well.
And Jones is like, they have this journalist who's refusing to leave, who's also sitting on McGreeny's house. And this journalist is Nicole, played by Elizabeth Berkley.
You don't know she's a journalist right away.
Yeah, well, she says it right away, doesn't she? She's like, I'm the only one that figured it out. This is my story. And it's like, well, unless she's just a crazy person.
Fair enough.
But, so, you mentioned it before. You alluded to it.
Do you think it's racist that she said, I don't care if you get Puff Daddy to sit back in the seat?
She does a lot of things that are questionable, racially and otherwise.
Like, there's not other only person that Baldwin likes is Puff Daddy?
And I mean no offense to Elizabeth Berkley, but I feel like this is a stop on her, I'm not just, what's her name, from Saved by the Bell tour.
I was waiting to say that. This is her definitely being like, I am not Jesse from Saved by the Bell. I want to be a serious actress. I want to do, like, real shit. But she forgot that she can't act.
She can act really well when she's pretending to be addicted to caffeine pills. But when it comes to being a journalist, I don't know. So they also decide they have to talk to a character that's been on earlier episodes, Dino, who's been ratting on different mafia dudes.
Dino the Rat.
And Dino the Rat is only going to come talk to him if he can fuck his girlfriend.
Well, I mean, fair.
which... the way this episode ends is very funny because it's like... okay, I'll give you some information on a possible murder if I can have sex with a woman you haven't talked to yet. It's like, well, what if she says no? Well, then I guess you're not finding out about a murder.
Hey, fair enough. You gotta shoot your shot. Literally. Both ways, I guess, for this guy.
Oh, hello.
No, but could you imagine just sitting in jail, like, you're ratting out all your friends, and, like, they're all just showing up and shit, and you're not getting any pussy? Now I love how all of the white people are staring at him.
So they're pretending to be on a date while they're next to the guy that they're trying to get close to?
Weird. Just remember, just think about it this way. Your tax dollars are at work here.
Well, yeah. I mean, we need them to... Well, they didn't pay for anything.
Also, no, I'm just saying, like, his salary, bro. His salary.
Also, she says, why don't you look over here and stop pretending Lincoln was never elected? What does that mean?
I don't know.
I don't understand what that means. Exactly.
I think because Baldwin is acting like hostile, like, oh, all these white people keep looking at me, that, like, this is weird, blah blah blah, and so I think she's trying to say, like, hey, like, everything's cool, man, you're free.
I just noticed the tattoo on this woman's wrist. I never noticed that until just now. So Magrini's wife is acting up because, you know.
She's a loudmouth bitch.
Well, I was going to say because she's married to an asshole, but, you know, two sides of the same coin.
Not the same thing, right?
And she's like, oh, well, the waitress is going to shove her fake tits in his face. And she's like, I consider the source. She mentions, I take amphetamines under prescriptions. Who's prescribing his cocaine? And he says, give the friggin' table away. I also love this because Jones is like, hey, don't assault the woman. And he's like, you see, that's the level of people that you're going to be with in your future. He's like, oh, men who defend women? Wow, what a monster.
No, Kirk, black people.
Yeah, that's what he means because he's racist. But then he also makes another joke where you're like, that wasn't even clever. The salt and pepper joke?
Yeah.
Where he's like, the salt and pepper was only
just,
on the table.
That's just lazy racism.
Like, you kind of want to be like, yo, if you're going to be racist, be smarter, not like smart enough to make a good joke.
That's the problem is most racists aren't.
No, they're not. They're stupid.
Pretty dumb.
And then he pretty womans this lady by being like, oh, can we have their table? And he's like, ah, you know what? We'll go elsewhere. Yeah, awkward scene. Didn't like it.
Well, I mean, fuck that whole place, to be honest. Like, all of them made out just fine.
They probably got trash food. So this scene was exceptional because I'm like, I didn't know what the fucking problem was either. And he's just like, not wearing an overcoat, first time this spring.
If you ever wondered, is John gay?
Well, they'll remind you.
That'll answer your question for you.
Maybe John just likes spring. So yeah, a whole point of this episode is Medavoy got into a car accident with Jones's car. And Sim Woods is like, yeah, you should never let him drive your car. And I'm like, should this man be driving, period? Should we take away his license if that's the attitude we have about him?
Can this man see over the steering wheel? This is a pretty good acted scene, though. Medavoy does a pretty good job.
Medavoy does a great job in most scenes. He's just an unlikable character.
Yeah, he's pretty annoying. It's crazy.
But it is
a great job, I guess.
I think they both do a great job because Jones is great at giving this, like, what can I do about this other than be annoyed and just read the information? And here we have M. Emmett Walsh playing Croft, who seems to be upset with
Sipowicz. He was in Harry and the Hendersons, too.
Croft?
No, M. Emmett Walsh.
Oh, cool.
I think. I thought he played the hunter that hunted Harry.
Oh, maybe he did. So this is supposed to be like kind of a roundup with the MA, and
he was in it.
And then this guy Croft is like, "Can we just get down to it?" And he lets him know it's a 20s 30s female, black hair, 5'5". She had a somewhat developed fetus into her stomach, or in her womb. There was a handbag with some shit in there. We might be able to get some info. And they're drying out her hands to try and get fingerprints. But he's not answering any questions and just giving him the report and trying to get through it.
And you can kind of tell that there's like an iciness to how he's delivering everything as well. And it's weird. It's funny because I feel like the only person that's picking up on it is Sipowicz.
Well, I think Sipowicz is the only one that's like trying to come back at him with attitude. And then MML Walsh is like, "You got a pair of balls talking to me like that?" And then storms off to the bathroom.
Is it fucked up to say that MML Walsh now looks like the character that Dan Aykroyd played in Nothing But Trouble?
Is it fucked up? Kinda.
Like, if you Google a picture of MML Walsh now and look at a picture of him, you're like, oh.
I'd say
did
yes.
Did you run down to New York City to find your son-in-law?
Yes. A joke for all those fans of Nothing But Trouble.
I made Maria watch Nothing But Trouble.
Oh, so you tortured your girlfriend?
It was amazing. Like,
yeah, I'm sure she was pissed. It's a terrible movie.
I don't know if pissed was the word. Like, I think she was more of just like, as it happens, she was just like, "What the fuck is happening? Wait, what?"
Yeah.
And then what really kind of kicked it off is when I was like, "Look, look, look," and she's like, "What?" And I'm like, "Tupac." She was like, "Tupac's in this," and I'm like, "Yeah, dude." And don't worry, he's not even like a main star. He's just dancing.
Oh, such a bad movie. So this is where we find out that
we're just missing him like pouring his heart out.
Yeah, basically his wife has cancer and he can't deal with it, and every time he sees somebody like Sipowicz who lost his wife, he's like, "Oh, this guy's making it through without his wife. I won't be able to do that." And also, like, this scene was like a moment where I was like, "Oh, this is why they got M. Emmett Walsh." I was like, "That's kind of a weird power grab to get for your medical examiner." And then it's like, "Oh, it's because he can have these emotional scenes with Dennis Franz because he's been acting with fucking Ricky Schrodes and randos for the past couple episodes."
Yeah. They brought in the big guns. They brought in M. Emmett Walsh and Elizabeth Berkeley.
Surprisingly, there aren't any scenes with Elizabeth Berkeley and
Kirk, if you put that much electricity on the screen, you'd break cameras. Like,
well, based on how this show works, if they put Elizabeth Berkeley with Sipowicz, he'd end up fucking her.
Yeah, that's true too. You can't have, yeah, because his that cul-de-sac bald spot really gets the ladies going.
Kyle, it's not a fat belly. It's an engine to a sex machine.
His bald spot reminds me of the cul-de-sac that was across the street from our house, when we lived up north.
His... We just make fun of him because he gets more pussy than we ever will, and all he does to do it is be a good detective.
And just a douche.
Just a pain in the ass every other time.
Yeah, it's basically showing you, like, hey, be the biggest dick you can, and you'll just slay it.
What I love about this is, like, Medavoy is on this car thing constantly, right? And then Jones gets a call to go downstairs. It's to see Nicole, clearly.
Yeah.
And he's like, look, my car got a little busted up that I'll have to pay for and deal with this woman, but I'm probably going to get laid.
So that, I got that going for me.
I got that going for me. From I get to have sex with Jesse from Boy Meets World. Not Boy Meets World, sorry.
Jesus Christ, Boy Meets World wasn't even on yet, dude.
The much inferior Saved by the Bell.
I think Corey Matthews, like, was just getting splooged into his mom, you know?
Okay. Great use of words.
On the Shakespeare podcast.
Yep. Yes, you are, Kyle.
Well, I mean, watching Elizabeth Berkeley's like watching a Shakespearean play.
Oh my gosh. You're making me look down the barrel. Anyway,
I've been looking down a barrel since she got on screen.
So basically, he's like, I'll give you the exclusives.
And you will.
And she's like, cool, can I see your dick? And he's like, hey, you know, I'll let you in on a little secret. I'm not a fan of women that are that strong. And she's like, well, what if I'm black? Oh, wait, is that not the scene?
Does she say that?
She does.
I don't think she says that.
She does eventually. No, this time she's like, maybe you don't know what you want. And he's like, yeah, maybe that's it. And she's like, I still expect to call by 6:30.
Do you think we should maybe erase what you just said? Because I don't think that really happened. I think you just made that up.
No, it does happen. I'm going to be vindicated. Okay. It happens in this episode. Because I remember it happening and be like, what? We'll get there. Don't worry. I'm not making it up.
Said the guy who made it up.
Kyle, if I'm making it up, I'll roll out of here.
Kirk, if you're making it up, I'm going to stuff you under a barrel.
So this dude's waxing poetic about how Pete Magrini's a piece of shit. And they're like, okay, did he kill his wife? He's like, maybe, probably.
But then he says, nah, he's kind of a pussy.
Oh, also this guy.
Doesn't he kind of say that? He kind of says he's like a new school mobster and he's kind of a pussy?
Yeah, a little bit. Saying that you could buy him for a ham sandwich, which, I mean, depending on how good the ham sandwich is.
I've had some pretty good ham sandwiches.
Also, this is Frank Vincent, who has been in several projects that involve organized crime. Raging Bull, yeah, Casino.
I think any movie that has a gangster, he's been in it.
The Sopranos, Casino. Yeah, well, I mean, he plays a type, and he plays it well.
Is he alive? Because if he is, he's in The Irishman.
Well, it's also funny how he's like, are you sure that you're not just saying this because you hate Pete Magrini? And he goes, why would I have sour grapes? I had sex last night.
I mean, fair, dude. Like, what's he mad about now, you know?
He cleared the barrel, and now he's doing great.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah, you did. You did. It's also funny how it's like he only has anecdotal evidence, and they're like, okay, who told you this? And he says a name, he's like, dead. And he says another name, also dead. Oh, man.
I like that line. Why do I feel like we're getting today what Angela got last night?
You mean a lackluster hump? I just have a feeling he's not very good in bed. I don't know what I'm basing that on. Just feeling it.
I don't know. Maybe the fact that he's, like, fucking old. But he's, like, all clear-minded and happy.
He ain't no Sipowitz in bed. We can guarantee that. Maybe our future's pimping. So this scene was also a little weird. Magrini is coming up, so they have to hide Jones because he met him in a bar or in the restaurant. Dino is in the bathroom, and they're apparently like sworn enemies. So they're trying to keep him away from each other.
But then they also have to get Baldwin to hide because Baldwin can't see him. You know what I'm saying? Because yeah. Baldwin is was the guy at the bar, so they can't run across each other.
And then they just have one of these, like, dick measuring contests where they have to be, like, passive-aggressive and smiley while also calling each other pieces of shit.
And it's clever. Like, it's clever writing to be able to, like, talk ish without, like,
Yeah, the classic, everybody's said good things about her, implying they all had sex with your wife. And then he eventually, Pete Magrini calls him a cheese eater, because, as we know, Dino's been talking and getting a bunch of people arrested. Calls him a vulture.
This is a pretty good scene, too, and it involves none of the main characters, so there's that for you.
Well, it's very, I mean, it's very stereotypical mafia talk. Where it's like, we don't do our business out here in the daylight. We'll just send other people who are barely related to the situation to kill each other over it, and we'll just get rich.
It's this, like, fun thing, like, where the mafia's like, we're gonna be respectful in public, but I'll kill ya.
Because when you think mafia, you think fun. You think fun times.
The funnest.
You think about having a ball. You know what? Being in the mafia, it's like a barrel of monkeys.
Oh my god.
Got another one. Barrel puns. So this is a weird scene where they're just like, okay, Magrini's in the room, and Jones is like, I think we should let him know that he's hot. Because they think he has something to do with this body. And that's the only thing they have on him. They know he's an organized crime guy, but they think this body might be his wife. You okay?
Sorry.
Sipowicz comes in with some Girardella stuff, and then the other guy is like, hey, you ugly piece of shit. And then he sees Jones, and he's like, I know you wouldn't have balls unless you had a badge. He's like, oh, funny, I thought you'd have balls to throw a fight, but the dude's bigger and larger than you. Because you a little bitch.
Yeah.
You only fight women, you piece of shit. Pete.
Yeah, he won't go off.
Then Russell comes in and he's like, oh my god, are they in there with him yet? And they're like, yep. And Sipowicz is a... it's funny to watch Sipowicz do a ramp up like he does in his interrogations.
And then for it to get stopped.
Yeah, because Sipowicz loves to build up, like, I got you for this 50-gallon drum, and then they find out that the woman in the drum is not his wife. It's a woman named Irma Gallego. So Sipowicz is, like, building it up, put it on the track. And then the face he gives is like, oh, shit. I want you to go home and think about, and you decide if you want to return here with representation. Because it turns out the drum has nothing to do with him. You know what? I'm out of here. And then Sipowicz is like, it isn't the booze. I also love how, like, they express such, like, weirdness when they say the name. It's like, it is still a person. A person still died and got put in a drum. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I agree. It's just so funny that he's annoyed that he can't go after him.
Well, he's embarrassed. Kyle, he was building up a train, and we were on the tracks, and we were at the top of the hill, and then we all just got off the train. You could say he was rolling a barrel up a hill.
Oh, my God.
I thought this woman did a great job, because now they have to switch gears on who this woman in the barrel is. And they found this other woman's information in her bag. And this woman tells a pretty great story about how she went to go see Irma, but got lost. And then never heard from her again. And they were like, well, why didn't you fill out a form? And she's like, I was undocumented. Like, I can't risk my life here for her, even though I'm very afraid of what happened to her. Because she said she was in love with her boss, and her boss got her pregnant, and he was being weird about it. You know, kind of like
the first time you watched this, were you ready for the twist?
Okay, are we talking about the same twist, that it's just some random guy, or the real twist?
No, the twist of the girl being in there, and it not being the monster's wife.
I wasn't prepared for that. No, I assumed it was going to be his wife, but then we were going to get a multi-episode investigation situation, but that didn't happen.
I 100% thought so too, especially with bringing in Elizabeth Berkley. I 100% was like, oh, they're gonna have her like be in this for a long time with this case. I 100% thought it was gonna be the monster, and it was gonna be something they built on for sure.
Who would have known that an episode that introduces Emmett Walsh and Elizabeth Berkley? Elizabeth Berkley is the one with a multi-episode run.
Unless Emmett Walsh like just knew one of them and like one of those two, and like was just doing him a favor, you know?
I don't know. So this scene made me laugh inappropriately. Okay. So I have to highlight some great things. So this is Dino's girlfriend who boned him for the information. Russell casually mentions like, oh, I met you in Vice, which implies that she was a sex worker.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. As she walks to the coffee room, Jill says this, walking a little wide, Angela. And then Angela's response, well, that's an intensely personal observation. That's hilarious writing for that character. And then she basically comes in to be like, hey, did Dino give you info on Magrini? And they're like, why? He's like, well, he fucked me for it. He better have given you something. And then she's like, well, it had nothing to do with his wife being in a 50-gallon drum, so basically nothing. And then this woman is like, okay, well, I was fucking Pete Magrini, and he told me he killed his wife and where he buried her. He's like, you could have just told them this at any time.
Yeah.
You could have come in and told people this, like, at any time. But you waited until Dino boned you, and, like, Pete Magrini's name came back up in your life, and then you're like, oh, yeah, I know that he murdered my best friend, and I didn't do anything about it.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, is, like, supposedly this is her best friend, and she's sleeping with her best friend's husband. Well, dead husband. Well, ex now, because she's dead. Like, that's weird.
It's also hilarious because, in theory, she had no idea why she was being called, hey, you want to bang Dino? And she goes, What's the occasion? And then they're like, oh, he's going to give information on Pete McGreedy. And then she's like, oh, yeah. One time when I fucked that dude, he admitted to murdering my friend. Hopefully Dino mentions that, or I could just do it. It's insane. It's like, I was just laughing because I was like, what is the logic of this scene?
Does every monster have a cousin named Tommy?
Yes, that's official.
Okay. I can Wikipedia that, right?
Does every mobster have a...
And get the official answer? Hey, it's a dude from fucking...
Shut up, Kyle. Shut up, Kyle.
Excuse me.
Now, this dude who's coming in is a former owner of the house. And he owned a plastic flower factory, which the woman mentioned that she was, the woman who died was pregnant with her boss who owned a plastic flower factory. And like, just by the way this guy's acting, they're like, so you did it.
Oh, he comes in and he is like nervous.
And then they mention like, hey, we found a body in a drum in your house that was a former worker. And he's like, did you know her? And then the wife's like, yes, he did. And you're like, oh, shit. She knew the tea?
Does the wife know what's going on?
She doesn't know that she was murdered. She just knows that... she was fucking her husband. Also, this husband is played by F. William Parker, who was in Revenge of the Nerds, The Wedding Planner, and on a bunch of TV shows. This dude's been in some shit.
She knows.
Well, she knows. I think she figures because the guy asks to go to the bathroom, right? And right, like, he doesn't even get out of earshot before she's like, oh, she called me. She was fucking him. And she said she was pregnant. And then the dude shot himself. Imagine being this new owner. He was watching that dude go to the bathroom.
That's what I'm about to say. Or was he helping the dude hold the gun?
No, he was
like,
okay.
How did he get blood? Kirk, he got blood up on his temple, up high on his bald head.
Okay.
Like, what?
So, because we have to prove that I'm not wrong. Okay. So he tells Nicole the body in the barrel is not Pete McGreedy's wife. It's a different woman. And a guy killed her who was her boss. And then he's like, and she's like, okay, great. That'll give me 12 lines on page 4. And then he's like, well, Nicole, if you keep listening, Pete McGreedy, we caught his wife was buried out in New Jersey, and we're going to go pick it up right now.
She is the worst. She's the worst journalist because she's like, one, not patient. And then when he's trying to give her like a really good story, she's like, why?
Okay, would it be easier for me to get in bed with you if I told you I was his sister? I thought it was a sister.
Wait. No, I'm going to rewind it.
Whose sister? I thought she's...
His sister.
Whose sister?
Pete McGreedy's.
That doesn't make sense. I thought she was saying a sister, like, what if I told you I was black?
No, she says his.
Okay, well, she needs to enunciate.
I always found that weird.
Because I thought it was her saying, like, what if I told you I was black? Would you have sex with me then? And he's like, that's not the point.
No, that's weird too. But, no, I always thought it was weird that she says his sister, because I like, and then she's like, oh, because she basically, she does say, would you have sex with me instead? Would you have sex with me if you knew that I was his sister? And she, and then like what? Like, is it supposed to like turn Baldwin on that like you're going against your brother? Like, I don't get that part.
Weird. That's all we need to know. It's weird. It makes no sense. She's trying to bone him.
She fucks up the line, and they just had to keep it.
I think that she just like the character is like, I can't rest until I have you inside me. And it was like, okay, cool. So excited to talk to you now.
That's a feeling we all have to live with when we look at Jones.
I mean, yeah, I don't know how we do it every week. Also, so this,
I'll just let you know this right now. I don't.
So this scene takes an odd turn for me. So basically M. Emmett Walsh is like, look, I've seen enough death to know that there's nothing after it. And then Sipowicz is like, okay, let me tell you in great detail about how I found my son dead. And we're like, okay, where are you going? Where are you going with this, Sipowicz? And he's like, and then I was holding my wife as she died. And he's like, uh-huh. He's like, before that, I knew that there wasn't a God. But afterwards, I started seeing my son in my dreams. And my ex-wife started seeing him in other people for moments. And the look on Emmett Walsh's face is almost like, oh, my support is a fucking crazy person.
So it kind of looks like me that Emmett Walsh goes, oh, so I'll see my dead wife floating around? That's awesome.
But it's a very intense, like, it felt like Dennis Franz going for another Emmy scene.
Yeah. What I don't understand, though, and you'll have to maybe help me, is this guy's talking about, like, he's tired of death. He's tired of, like, just bad things. He's scared for his wife. And then Andy's like, let me tell you about when someone really close to me was gruesomely murdered.
Well, he's trying to say, like, the face Emmett Walsh is giving is so weird, but it seems like what he's saying is, look, after the people who you love die, you'll end up seeing them in other people and in other places. But I think Emmett Walsh, I believe he started out that by saying, like, look, I feel so bad because it's all this suffering, and then I know nothing's afterwards. And then Sipowicz is like, well, I don't know if there's anything afterwards, but you're going to feel a little bit better later.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if there's anything after, but you're gonna be totally okay until you die. And by looking at your age, you're almost there. So just, you know, just ride that wave, buddy.
You know what, Emmett Walsh? Just hang 10. Hey, you know what? Get some barrel. Got it!
No, it's catch a barrel, bro.
Whatever. Whatever, Kyle. You know what I mean.
For someone who fucking loves Meet the Deedles, you need to get it right.
Meet the Deedles is not about surfing. It's about brotherhood. It's about overcoming adversity. And it's about trying to feed candy to a woman and pretend it's real worms. Anyway.
Kirk. Fuck you, dude. They yell in that movie, Surf Wyoming. You can't sit there and tell me that there's no surfing or anything involved.
Now I want to watch some Meet the Deedles, Kyle. Anyway, you have anything else?
Surf Wyoming!
Kyle, do you have anything else for this episode before we...
I do, bros. Surf Wyoming. All day, every day.
Surf Wyoming. Oh, my God.
Surf Wyoming! Kyle...
It's Petey the Pea Dog. Oh my God. Anyway. Okay. What was I even going to say? You have anything else for this episode other than Surf Wyoming for reals?
No. It's actually as crappy as Elizabeth Berkeley is, the acting around it and the story is like pretty good. It's decent.
Yeah, it's a decent one, and I do think that M. Emmett Walsh does a great job as being the character he is. I don't know. I think any time that they go real hard into the mafia stuff, I always feel like, okay. Like, I enjoy when it's, like, passionate, like, acts of passion murder stuff or, like, serial killer stuff or, like, really good interrogations. But when they're just bringing in mafia guys to, like, tell on each other and get, this is no pun intended, get wise with each other and talk shit.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, okay, that's cool, but what about the other stuff? So, wasn't bad. Pretty good. One of the reasons it was good, we had a little less Ricky Schrodes and a little more Jones and Sipowicz and other people.
So, I guess he's not that sad about JB?
Well, it's been a week, Kyle, and he was a junkie. He's silently suffering.
He was a doo-wop junkie, though, you know? You don't get a lot of those.
He was a doo-wop junkie. And we have more Elizabeth Berkley to look forward to. Happy days.
Oh, we do? That's right.
But yeah, we'll talk about her as she shows up, I guess. But that's and conveniently not the only Saved by the Bell alum that we'll have. But that's.
Can you believe for a second I was like, "Who else is it?"
You're racking your brain. You're like, "Wait."
I was like, "Wait, was Slater in an episode that I don't remember?"
Who else? Did they?
And I was like, Dustin Diamond. I was like, Double D could have played like a creep.
Well, Double D just commits real crimes. Okay, we're done. We're done with the episode for sure. Thank you for listening to this episode of NYPD Blue Balls, or skipping all the way to the end, whichever you happen to do. Please rate and review the show on whatever podcast platform you're using to listen to it, mostly so we can get higher up in the algorithm, and maybe more people will watch the best show ever, NYPD Blue. That's what this is really about. We're on Twitter at Asher Bros Pod. We're on Instagram at Asher Brothers Podcast, mostly just mentioning when new episodes of the podcast is out. If you need more NYPD Blue in your life, there's a couple of books out there. True Blue, written about the first couple seasons by creators and consultants. There is What Would Sipowicz Do, a collection of articles about the show. There's Gene Kendall's An Unofficial Guide to NYPD Blue on Amazon for 99 cents. And then there are two short paperback stories, Blue Beginnings and Blue Blood. They're kind of like side stories in the world of NYPD Blue. I just got done with Blue Beginnings, and it's different, but it's interesting. Kind of worth the read, if you could find it, of course. Anyway, have a good one. Bye.